The Internet Knows Where I Live, Diary of a Doc's Raid, by Teague Christie. It all started when Samuel L. Jackson posted a topic on Reddit.com that proclaimed he would perform the most upvoted reply as a monologue, bringing his full Samuel L. Jacksonness to bear on those words. Talk about making the internet an offer it can't refuse. For me, it started about 2 hours after that when I woke up. I fumbled for my glasses and sat up in bed, opening my laptop. Nothing in my email needed immediate attention. There was nothing noteworthy on Facebook. It was to be an easy morning of passive Reddit amusement until I eventually gave in to the obligations of the day. I scroll-wheel-clicked a dozen posts, opening them up in background tabs, and smirked when I saw the Samuel L. Jackson thing. Oh boy, this can't be good, I thought. Click. At the time, there were already over 2,000 comments on his post, which is bad news for anyone hoping to contribute thereafter. The posts that were already at the top would likely be the final candidates, perhaps the post imploring him to read The Raven while replacing every instance of Nevermore with Motherfucker, or the intimidating Taken-esque threat speech, possibly the excerpt from the vagina monologues. Any new message someone could submit would have virtually no chance of ever being seen because of how Reddit works. On Reddit, everyone with an account can apply one upvote or downvote to any post, such that popular things float up and unpopular things sink down. At the top of the page is the reply with the most upvotes, typically in the low thousands, and the rest fall into descending order below. The majority of these replies will get just one or even zero upvotes and die, buried in a massive quagmire at the bottom of the pile. Because few casual readers will ever venture so far into one upvote territory, few such posts ever get upvoted out of those depths. Knowing that was the case, and not really in the spirit of trying to win so much as in the spirit of fuck it, I started typing. It would be dishonest to say that I wasn't a bit shrewd. I had a pretty solid idea of the kind of tone and content Reddit as a whole might enjoy, and a notion to transcend the monologue format and make the Jackson message something more practical. After about 10 seconds, I wasn't actually taking it very seriously, I decided to write a monologue that could be downloaded and used as an alarm clock ringtone instead of just being a funny standalone video. Embracing the stereotypical Samuel L. Jackson voice of intimidating over-the-top profanity and the stereotypical Reddit appreciation for slightly saccharine encouragement, I hammered out the following post in about 3 minutes.
Good morning, sunshine. It's time to get up now. Another bright and beautiful day is out there just waiting for you to go out and stop! Do not hit that snooze button. Do not hit that goddamn snooze button. You think anything great in this world ever got done by a lazy motherfucker who never even tried? You think it's supposed to come easy? You think I've had it easy? Get your ass up right now. Beautiful things can be done in a day, goddammit. Tell someone you love them. Make art. Get into trouble, for fuck's sake. Hurt yourself. Make someone happy. Get laid. Quit your job, or destroy your job. Whichever one it is you want to do, it starts with you rolling out of bed right now. And brush your teeth, goddammit. Your breath smells like ass. Wake up! Now. Get the fuck out of bed. This is life. You're not going to make it out of here alive. You're running out of time this very second, and you want to hit snooze? Did nobody tell you you're capable of great things? Do you need someone to tell you that shit? Here, if you're going to be a goddamn fool, let me say it for you. I believe in you. I think you can do it. I think you're the baddest, most batshit, crazy, and capable of anything motherfucker there ever was. Now get the fuck out of bed and get something done.
This is the post as it exists now, by the way, after a couple of edits. More on that in a moment. A bit of Fight Club influence here, a bit of Neil Gaiman influence there, a lot of Samuel L. Jackson everywhere. Some confirmation, some criticism, some encouragement. A self-aware little medley of all the things Reddit loves, my briefly calculated the perfect Reddit post response. There wasn't a snowball's chance in hell anyone would ever see it, so I instant messaged the link to a couple of friends for the quick, lol, validation I was hoping for, and they lolled politely. That was it. That was the whole plan. Done. I checked back on my post a minute later because, after being on Reddit for a while, you have an addict's compulsion to see how your comments are doing, and was astonished to find that it had 25 upvotes. Reload. 32. Reload. 46. It was going fast, much faster than the not going at all I was expecting when I wrote it. I remarked to my instant message friends that this thing might actually go. They were as perplexed as I was. We watched the number climb. The top comment in a modern Reddit thread will usually be in the 2,000 to 3,000 upvotes range, after being steadily upvoted for hours and hours. Alarm clock passed 2,500 in 30 minutes, already at the top of the page. It was the first comment people entering the thread would see. In the sad little way that Redditors get excited about things like this, it was pretty exciting. In the real-world spectrum of excitement, it was somewhere near finding $5 in the laundry. And just so we're on the same page, it's worth noting that yes, everyone who maintains a Reddit account knows they are being a little ridiculous when they secretly care about their upvotes. They're made-up feel-good points that don't mean anything. We know. We are ashamed. Meanwhile, the positivity was pouring in. Genius. I love this. This, please. This will be my new alarm. Make it so, Reddit. And similar comments were piling up almost as fast as the upvotes. It was overwhelmingly positive, which was also very unusual. The only initial negative replies were grammatical or creative notes, which begat the aforementioned edits. Initially, I had structured a sentence with an affectation-heavy you, where one really shouldn't have been, and had also included the incredibly ill-advised pants-explodingly, ass-kickingly in the last paragraph. Snip. I hated it too. I'm sorry, world. Once those edits were made, even the people who weren't crazy about it seemed sated. After 1 hour, alarm clock was at 5,000 upvotes. After two, it was well over 8,000. That number and that time frame are basically unprecedented in combination. It was also more than 4,000 points ahead of the runner-up, which is pretty much a deadlock for not going to get topped. I was stunned and incredulous. That was sudden. Is it possible I forgot the part where I put work into this? I wondered. It's not that I didn't care when I was writing the post, but I kind of didn't care when I was writing the post. I certainly wasn't trying to win the thing. I knew any amount of time spent on it would be a waste of time anyway. There was no chance anyone would see it. And now this. Then two things happened. The first was that the upvote count suddenly halved. In the last minute of the 1 hour ago period, it was in the 8,000s. And as soon as it showed 2 hours ago, it was in the 4,000s. Strange. The second thing was the receipt of a very alarming message. 4chan is trying to dox you. Depending on your degree of initiation, that sentence might be absolutely meaningless, so I'll unpack it for those among us who don't spend so much time online. 4chan is an online community along the same lines as Reddit, only completely different. In the grand mythology of the web, among many things, 4chan is the Harvard of trolling. Trolling being, colloquially, the act of intentionally baiting someone to react, at which point you laugh at them because you got a reaction and you enjoy your lols. LOLs. Laugh out louds. We have a lot of abbreviations on the internet. 4chan is also one of the de facto homes of Anonymous, and the spirit of hacking people to fuck with people is one of the central reputations 4chan carries. Take the spirit of hack to fuck with, combine that with mob mentality, mix in a stated moral apathy and goal for lulz above all else, and then serve with unbridled, delirious, indiscriminate offense for offense's sake. That's 4chan. More specifically, that's the B form on 4chan. Often they get their panties in a bunch about something or someone and direct all of their collective energy into a teamwork effort to ruin the lives of anyone in their way. Or if the Joker was a website? The other half of that gibberish sentence refers to docs, which is a twist on the word docs for documents. In this context, docs is a verb that means acquire home address, phone number, maybe social security info, and other crucial personal information by any means necessary. With that information, fucking with you becomes much easier and much more comprehensive, bordering on limitless. They'll publish your information repeatedly among themselves so that everyone has it, and then their fun begins. 4chan is trying to dox you. The DEFCON alarm went off in my head. I immediately changed all of my passwords and replaced them with hilariously long and complex upgrades that were much less prone to being brute force hacked. Everything. Every account. The first step in a situation like that is to protect what you can, and while they can certainly get a long way with just Google, and they did, immediately, they can't wreak much havoc if they can't crack into any of your accounts. At least not in the first wave. All they can do is troll you in comment threads and call you a faggot. The second wave is doxing, which they also managed, quickly, pulling up my home address and phone number from somewhere deep in the bowels of the internet. I got in touch with the moderators from Reddit to ask about the halving of the upvotes, which I suddenly cared much less about, but I was still curious, and also to say, oh crap, you guys, any ideas? Throughout the rest of the ordeal, I'd have an outstanding experience with the Reddit mods, who were consistently supportive and helpful. Case in point, not long after I opened up correspondence, I got a message from one of them that says, you've been doxed, they have your address and phone number now. That information was redundant to me at that point, because I was monitoring the same many 4chan conversations they were, but it was a nice gesture of solidarity. For the next 48 hours, I'd monitor the ever-living hell out of those 4chan threads. B, the main forum on 4chan for this kind of thing, moves very fast. Usually there were 5 or 6 threads going on at once, and they'd frequently move or get deleted. Putting in the effort to find and follow them was another line of defense, because as soon as some Anon, 4chan user, or BTard, would share a new piece of information, like my dad's middle name, which was a security password right up until that second, I'd be able to invalidate that piece of information, or at least think ahead. If they know this, the next thing they're going to be able to piece together is that, so how can I strengthen that? All the while, endless phone calls and text messages are pouring in. Prank calls, threats, text messages from Anons, text messages from horny gay singles who got my number from online hookup services, one phone call from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, not to mention phone calls from what would ultimately be about 40 very annoyed delivery people standing outside of my house, waiting for me to come pay for the pizza I ordered. Pizza and more, actually. I know you're listening to this 4chan, so I'll give a couple shout-outs. My favorites were the tacos and the 40-piece chicken dinner. Nice touch. What was the deal, anyway? Why was this happening? To my surprise, apparently 4chan had a dog in the Samuel L. Jackson fight, and they didn't need to care about me to bomb my life, and at first they didn't. They just needed to get my post out of the top spot so they could take it for themselves and reap the lulls. Lulls, in this case, taking the form of Samuel L. Jackson performing an inside joke from 4chan back to them. They had several ways of accomplishing this. The most direct way would be to break into my Reddit account and edit or delete that post. For this, brute force cracking my Reddit password would be step one, and trying to get into any other account that could lead to useful clues about my Reddit password would be step two. Over the course of the first day, I'd end up getting many password reset requested emails from Reddit after some anon would eventually get bored of brute forcing my password and see if maybe they could just reset it using a forgot your password form. The next best thing, and 4chan enjoys a tremendous amount of success with this tactic, would be to harass and threaten me, and my family, and my coworkers, until I caved and gave them what they wanted. It's pretty straightforward. They Google to see who I know, who I've worked for, who is important to me, and run the whole bag of tricks on them. Eventually, someone will call me crying and beg for me to make it stop, and then I do what 4chan wants. That's the plan, anyway. It wasn't long before I was getting emails from previous employers asking what the hell was going on. Apparently, they were experiencing threats, mysterious prank calls, even things as ridiculous as having their individual personal Facebook pages suspended due to repeated failed login attempts. This would be embarrassing for me if I didn't have hip employers. The email I got from one in particular was, is 4chan declaring war on you or something? One last thing 4chan could do, and this should really be the most obvious, was simple. They could just sign up for Reddit in massive swarms and downvote my post. They definitely had the numbers. Why not just do that? Hell, why wasn't that the primary tactic? 4chan really, really, really hates Reddit. It would do neither of us any good for me to explain why. They just do. Take it as read. However, they overcame their revulsion enough to start in on this tactic as well. The downvotes and shit-talking began in manic earnest. Trolling betards flooded the Samuel L. Jackson thread, most of them a bit confused because they had never actually used Reddit before, and started wreaking havoc. 4chan not knowing how Reddit works is going to become a theme. However, not all of their confusion would be their fault. Remember the 8,000, 4,000 upvotes thing? It turns out, for myriad reasons, Reddit isn't the most reliable place to find out how many upvotes or downvotes a Reddit post has. Not that you can get that information anywhere else, of course, it's just kind of wonky sometimes. Keeping track of honest-to-goodness numbers at the rate of an extremely fast-moving thread is too cumbersome for Reddit to even try, so it doesn't. It updates sporadically, often with estimates. Built-in spam trigger systems will detect spam and either de-emphasize those votes or literally invent opposing votes to counter them. It's a little baffling, and it's an ongoing joke in the Reddit community that even the mods don't know exactly how the voting system works. Everything is algorithmic, from anti-flooding algorithms to anti-spam algorithms to don't try to keep updated, just try to keep track and update with correct data later algorithms. If you were to sit there and reload a popular post over and over, the upvote count might not make sense. It might fluctuate, even more than what you could imagine the ups and downs were since your last reload. When Reddit can actually keep track of the clicks in real time, eventually the number settles. Nobody is pulling strings to alter votes. The votes are not rigged. They just look for all the world like they are, especially to people who haven't seen what Reddit votes do under heavy action, especially to people who are prone to conspiracy and persecution fantasies. And boy, that just pisses those people off. It turns out, by the way, the reason for the initial massive vote number change was due to the implementation of a different voting system for contest use, which apparently exists for reasons, that wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, and they reverted back to normal voting a couple hours into the contest. Everyone's votes summarily changed, but they all changed in equal proportion, and the contest continued in normal mode from there. Now you know. All of the unpredictable vote weirdness, plus the removal of duplicate 4chan posts, multiple instances of the same inside joke being posted to try to flood the thread with 4chan, which is just another way of saying, you know, duplicate posts, which aren't allowed, was doing wonders for how pissed and retaliatory the 4chan folks were getting, and they were taking it out on every post above them. A popular post that was in third place was suddenly deleted, presumably because the poster had been harassed to the breaking point, or someone got their password and deleted it from the inside. Incidentally, that post was my favorite in the thread. It was a motherfuckified version of Carl Sagan's pale blue dot speech. I wrote Alarm Clock a bit insincerely, like it wasn't for me, but the pale blue dot speech I would have enjoyed sincerely. Alas. Good night, sweet prince. Meanwhile, things were just getting worse for me in the real world. At this point in the day, I had a few friends over for unrelated reasons, and we canceled our plans just to deal with the onslaught of internet that was happening to me. The food delivery orders were coming in much, much faster than we could ever hope to intercept. Many of the order receipts ended up going through to my email, Others were posted on 4chan for lulls and encouragement, and on the receipts there was often the phone number for the restaurant. Early on, feeling horrible for them, I tried to call every restaurant as soon as I found out about the order. I made probably half a dozen calls trying to explain the situation to people before I had to give up entirely. I literally would not have enough time to stop one before another would take its place. The deliveries were descending. Simultaneously reloading the 4chan threads, I saw claims that other, rather unsavory things were being ordered on my behalf as well. How many of them were legitimate is moot. 4chan got it. And most of them probably weren't. Even so, I covered my bases. I hung a sign on my front door. Notice, nobody here ordered pizza, hookers, cocaine, or is selling anything on Craigslist. Currently being pranked by the internet. Sorry for the inconvenience. OP. And we closed all the blinds, turned off all the lights, and locked the doors. Whenever we'd hear a new delivery person outside, we'd just shut the hell up and whisper until they went away. One of our cohort kept an eye out from a distance just to monitor incoming delivery men. One of the first was unbelievably vigilant, knocking half a dozen times, getting flustered, bugging our neighbors, putting the food back into the car and then taking it back out again in a huff, knocking again, and eventually stealing the sign before driving off 15 minutes later. We made a new sign and added, "And no, we will not just pay. Sorry, go away." Our lookout would see a new delivery, we'd switch to whispers, the doorbell would go off, then knocking, then doorbell, then my phone would ring, then we'd hear a muffled voice from outside, then I'd have a voicemail. I ended up with probably 30 confused voicemails from someone standing right outside my door with a pizza, and about 10 angry follow-up voicemails from the drivers who would not be swayed by one ignored phone call. I was raised in the Midwest. Being the last line of douchebaggery between someone just trying to do their job and them succeeding doesn't sit right with me. But there was nothing else to do, unless I paid for everything. The total for all the delivery food ended up being over $600. Not long after, pictures of my front door started showing up in the 4chan thread. It turns out, a funny thing about alarm clock being tailored to directly appeal to the stereotypical Reddit audience is that, boy, if you hate Reddit, that post is everything you hate about Reddit. Beyond being annoyed at its overwhelming success pre-4chan, success probably due in large part to that same quality, alarm clock also became symbolic of what 4chan was fighting for in the larger sense. For the B-tards who were doing it, that post crystallized their Reddit hatred into a symbol to be defeated, and I, its author, with my face all over Google image search, quickly became the face of the symbol. Pictures of me photoshopped in front of an alarm clock littered the threads. All the while, B was having an incredibly difficult time getting my post downvoted and getting theirs upvoted. It still looked as if the Reddit mods were rigging the votes and, you know, stomping on free speech and all that. For the B-tards who cared, that was infuriating. For the B-tards who didn't, and they too are legion, it was delightful. B-tards can be a divided group, particularly over the hazy divide between new fags and old fags, their words. And the veterans were largely disgusted that the new kids were paying so much attention to Reddit. Of all things, Reddit. Their disdain was powerful, and they aimed it inward, trolling these other B-tards for trying to win a Reddit contest and fucking failing. Many of the disdainful set were just posting pictures of my face with the comment, "The man who beat 4chan." Of course, I wasn't doing anything, and Reddit wasn't rigging the votes. The B-tards just didn't know that their register an account, upvote us, downvote him, repeat strategy was actively working against them. Reddit knows what obvious spam looks like, and that particular activity is a huge trigger, so every individual doing that was having a net neutral effect on the vote count, and the overall swarm of them doing it seemed to put the votes in a lockdown mode. I don't know if this is what was happening, but it seemed as if one vote now had the power of 1/10 of a vote. Or, in other words, they had inadvertently locked me into a position way above theirs. That night, I had trouble sleeping. Several comments in the threads were along the lines of, "Holy shit, this guy lives right by me. Maybe I should go rape him." Encouragement would ensue. I never really thought they were going to do anything physical, but after seeing how mob encouragement can go into an insane feedback loop on 4chan, it's not the sort of thing you can easily set aside for the night. The next morning, having forgotten to eat for 24 hours, I went out. I walked somewhere nearby and bought food. With a credit card. I didn't have any cash on me, otherwise I would have just paid for one of the 4chan pizzas. On the way back home, I stopped a few hundred yards short to wait for the pair of people taking photos of my house to leave. When I got back, the new sign was gone. Replace sign. Throughout this entire thing, I was in communication with the Reddit mods. Several thanked me for being cool about it and holding strong. One tried to hook me up with a paid writing gig to describe this experience in an article, and one even tried to jump on the grenade for me and distract 4chan by calling them out. A couple mods said they'd never seen anything like this happen to someone on Reddit before, so intensely for something so trivial. A lot of us have seen this sort of thing happen, and much worse, to folks who did something more incendiary. A situation where, right or wrong, it's plainly evident why 4chan has gone bug nuts on someone. Generally, they were all surprised at what I was going through and impressed by how I was handling it, and their encouragement helped. If I knew their names, I would thank them. It's been said many times in the past couple of days by myriad people, some who were aggressors, some who weren't, that it's my own damn fault. My Reddit username is my real name. I was asking for it. Using your name as a handle is pretty unusual on Reddit. It's not unusual on Twitter, or Facebook, or Google+, or even YouTube. Hell, YouTube is now actively trying to make every user switch their account name to reflect their real name. Seriously, they bug you about it with pop-ups. But it's unusual on Reddit, partly because of a latent streak of anonymous culture that harkens back to its original old web, old school, I'll never tell user base, which was overwhelmingly diluted by folks who just like funny pictures years ago. De facto anonymity doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense these days, my current problem aside, unless your use of Reddit is something you want to be, well, anonymous. I like credibility, and I like being responsible for the content I make. I enjoy communicating ideas and answering questions and writing songs and telling stories and making things and doing those things a lot. I'm proud of the effort I've put into all of my internet existence, including my Reddit posts. If you go back through them, they're not all gems or anything, but some are. I'm a maker, and I like my holistic online existence to be easily accessible such that if someone likes my YouTube videos, they can find my Twitter, or one of my podcasts, or, yep, my Reddit posts. The combined effort I've put into creative projects, including Reddit posts, adds up pretty quick if they're all in the same pile. If you like something I did over here, you'd probably like it over there. Building an audience is putting too fine a point on it, but it's something along those lines. Continuity of content. I don't know, I just like credibility. My little sacrifice for that is having to be careful with what I say, all the time, to the point where I'm comfortable with anyone, family, friends, employers, finding it. A couple of times when I've wanted to share something that exists outside of that safety bubble, I've done what everyone on Reddit does in such a scenario. Make a second account, a throwaway, post the content in question, and then never use the account again. This isn't very unusual for folks who like to make a lot of things on the internet. It's standard operating procedure for pretty much every YouTube personality, Twitter personality, or blogger you know by name. They like to use their real name, and they also know what that means in terms of visibility and vigilance. The flip side of this is being responsible for that information in bad times, like this week. Putting your real name on the internet isn't a crime, and isn't stupid, especially for folks who are trying to get their name out there. You're careful about your real-world shit, and go overboard on passwords and security, and life goes on. The assumption in, they knew his real name, he was just asking to be doxed, is forgetting the part where you know who Neil deGrasse Tyson is, too. Is he asking to be doxed? Knowing my real name is not what doxing amounts to. It may seem like a huge part of it, because so many of the folks in these circles do the anonymous thing, but it's not. There's a big distinction that's overlooked by folks who haven't experienced it, and by anons who quake at the thought of people connecting what they do to who they are. You don't get doxed because someone knows your name. If knowing someone's name was like, say, knowing their address, doxing would be showing up at their house, walking up to the door, breaking the side window, and unlocking it from the inside. And, just like the burglar, the point isn't to just do that and walk away. Doxing is a means to an end. It's not something you do for lulz. It's something you do to get to lulz. It's only done by bullies with the intent of bullying. He used his real name, he was asking for it, is about as honest as any other sentence that ends with was asking for it. I knew as soon as I got the first trying to dox you message what they would certainly manage to find. Online content first, then phone number, then home address. I knew what they wouldn't find because I know everything I've put online voluntarily. Of course, none of us really knows what we've put online involuntarily. All it takes is one database hack from a set group for all of our credit card and banking stuff to be blown out into the open web. I also knew, pretty much, what to do. 4chan's stated primary objective was to get my post out of the way, and their secondary objective, enforced by just how Reddit-y my Reddit post was to fuck with the neckbearded, fedora-wearing faggot Redditor who posted it because Reddit. In 4chan's defense, I do have kind of a neckbeard. I haven't shaved in a couple of days. I've been distracted. There was nothing I could do about them trying to overtake my post, and by this point I really didn't give a shit, but I could certainly save myself the trouble of being evidently fucked with. They are sharks. If there's blood in the water, they go nuts. The trick is not to bleed. So I stopped posting on Reddit. They were keeping an eye on my profile, waiting to see if I'd throw a tantrum in response to one of the several thousand fag comments. I didn't. They filled their time by going back through my entire Reddit history and downvoting every comment I've ever made. I stopped posting on Facebook. They had that. I didn't tweet. I didn't reply to any of the hundreds of YouTube comments, nor did I take any of them down. I did absolutely nothing that would look like I was embarrassed or trying to make it stop, because any such indication would result in internal, ha ha, we're really pissing him off now, encouragement for them to go further. For the same reason, I never took down alarm clock. I sure as fuck didn't answer the phone, reply to texts, or open the door. Would it have been fun to answer the phone? Yeah. As scary and demeaning and bullying as it all was, a part of me was having a blast with it. I knew what they were doing. and I had front row seats to watch. I was reloading multiple B-threads constantly to keep up with the new things to worry about, and I was honestly sympathetic with their frustration that their votes weren't working. I kind of wanted to make an account and say, yo guys, here's why it's not working. Try this instead. Anonymously, of course. I didn't. I sure as hell don't romanticize 4chan, or Anonymous for that matter, but I've been aware of them for a long time and followed up on the major raids and news stories and books. Admire is too strong a word, but I do feel a bit like I know them. More importantly, I know how these things go, and as I told a Reddit mod who marveled at my cool keeping, I know what not to do if you want it to stop. Without a bewildered target to make it actively fun, they're just a hurricane. It blows over. Of course, if you do freak out and start screaming into the wind, they become a delighted hurricane with a winning condition in mind. Not good. I saw in a B-thread that they got my dad's Facebook, so I called him up and explained the situation. My little sister got a hold of me, said someone on Facebook had sent her a cryptic screen cap of my face, address, and phone number. She showed me the picture. It was creepy. I told her the same thing I told my dad. Ignore everything. It'll be fine. In 2 days, they'll be onto something else. At this point, 36 hours after the shitstorm started, they had successfully downvoted me below the vote count that Pale Blue Dot had when it was deleted, so I was ostensibly in second place, but would still win. They had also made major headway with their post, bringing it up nearly to mine. A couple Dark Horse posts crept up in the interim. They had been focusing so much on mine that it wasn't until pretty late in the game the "Holy shit, downvote X!" comments started flooding the B-threads, and I started thinking about how this thing would end. In the lead-up to Samuel announcing the winner, there was a lot less flack coming at me from 4chan, one or two calls an hour, because they were all focusing on winning the contest. There was also a lot more correspondence between me and Reddit. I sent the following message to everyone in control of the Reddit board that the contest was on. I don't know how this is going to play out, and ultimately whatever Sam and his management wants to do is what's going to happen, but just so it said. One, I'd be perfectly fine, in fact a bit happy, to lose this thing. I'm going to have to endure a lot more shit from B-tards if I win, and I don't care enough about the SLJ thing for this to continue. They've been harassing my previous employers and family. Nothing has gotten serious or anything. I'm equipped to handle stuff like this, but I'd rather this shit stop happening than have Samuel read a post I wrote in 3 minutes as a lark. If 4chan wins, they'll call me a fag a bit more and move on, and I'll call that a win too. Two, if 4chan wins and y'all step in and say, doesn't count, you cheated, they're going to take that out on me tenfold. I'm not sure if that's something you'd ever do or consider, but just FYI, I'm going to be the target if that happens and things will suck for me. Do what you gotta do, but take that into consideration, please. And three, thanks for your correspondence throughout this. Not much you can do, but it's no fun getting doxxed and majorly shit on by 4chan. If you want to know the numbers, I can tell you exactly how many phone calls and death threats and text messages and pizza delivery men this particular op has tallied up. And you guys knowing what's up and being sympathetic has been nice. Anyway, much respect, y'all. Thanks again. Of the realistic outcomes, the best case scenario, for me at least, was 4chan winning. They'd win, stomp on my skull a bit, and move on. What would be worse was me winning, in which case I'd have to endure another round of hostility, probably commensurate to the previous one. But the absolute worst case scenario would be them winning, and Reddit or Samuel stepping in and saying, nah, fuck you, 4chan, you cheated, Teague wins, you lose. God help me if that happened. Everyone on B who had been participating so far would be out for blood, and the severity of that gesture from Reddit to 4chan would probably persuade quite a few more B-tards to join the cause. Reddit would get a lot of blowback themselves, but I'd be the neckbearded faggot responsible. Plus, what luck, they already know where I live, easiest raid ever. For the record, one of the mods did ask for the tally that I mentioned in that third point, and this is what I sent back at the time. Bear in mind, all of these numbers have a little approximation tilde next to them. Tally so far. 2,200 messages or replies of the usual nigger cunt faggot 4chan variety. 150 phone calls, of those about 100 voicemails. Most of them just like the messages and replies. Some of them reading the 4chan post in a Batman voice. One person just said really nice things for like 3 minutes. I don't know what his deal was. 45 food deliveries. 3 people coming by my house to take a picture of that sign. 2 people who weren't delivery men knocking on the door. 4 family members contacted. 3 previous employers contacted. 1 previous employer's website hacked. 7 Reddit password reset request emails. 7,000 downvotes on old comments and posts. 200 comments on social media platforms, YouTube, Twitter, etc. 90 death threats. And one horrible thing that can't be quantified, but is a threshold you will know once you've passed it. I can now easily navigate 4chan. This is perhaps the worst emergence of all. The other thing that happened around this time was that Samuel L. Jackson found out about all this. He had known since earlier on the same day about 4chan trying to win, and edited his post to reflect that, but I don't think he knew about my circumstances until around this point. Despite some Reddit-facilitated outreach from his PR people, They wanted to do something for me for all my trouble. I never communicated directly with anyone on Sam's side of the contest. That was all handled by the folks at Reddit. Later in the evening, in the context of what they knew about how this would go, I got this message from one of the mods. I think he was going to read the 4chan shit just for fun, but he's definitely not going to now. My blood ran cold. They wanted to do something for me for all my trouble, and I didn't want swag, I didn't want a phone call from Samuel, I didn't want anything nearly as much as I did not want Samuel L. Jackson to blow off 4chan because they were fucking with the poor alarm clock guy. I responded by saying a longer version of, I appreciate the instinct, but I think that would get me killed. Most of my conversations with the mods were threaded, multi-person discussions that everyone reply alled to. The conversation from there went on to be lighthearted and indulgent, with one of the mods indicating they would certainly forward my concern onto Samuel's side of the conversation for their consideration. I was relieved. At that point, if he did read Alarm Clock, it wouldn't be because I didn't make my case. I could live with that. And hey, a lot of people would like that ringtone. A larger group than the Anons I was currently not at war with. But then, this message entered into the conversation, and my stupid blood ran cold again. It may have been said to them already, but SLJ's team should be made aware that a garden variety compositor is in fear of his livelihood because angry teenagers who call everyone they disagree with nigger are attempting to bend a black man to their will. In fact, a selection of hate mail and mod mail might very well give a distinguished actor with an interest in civil rights an inkling to see this as a teaching moment. And more than that, letting the Wookiee win has social and racial implications that no one here is considering, but The Atlantic, The New Yorker, The Hollywood Reporter, and Daily Beast likely will. Sorry, Teague, it's bigger than you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Internet forum flooded with inward posts makes Samuel L. Jackson dance for them is tailor-made for Drudge, and from there it's a short walk to MSNBC. From the conversation that ensued among the mods, it didn't seem as if anyone actually made this point to his team, but maybe they did. In any case, so long as nobody reconvinced Samuel to read my post, I would be on my own. Moreover, my fate was in 4chan's hands. Now it was just a matter of time. The original indication was that the contest would end at midnight PST, 2 days after the contest started. The hours leading up to midnight were tense on the B-board, with half a dozen threads full of people panicking and trying like hell to hammer my upvotes down. The phone calls stopped completely. An hour before midnight, my post, which had originally balanced out at about 5,000 upvotes, was holding at about 1,100. Their post, which was originally at about 800, was slowly fighting like hell to get above 980. All the while, the upvote counts fluctuated wildly on both posts, with Reddit's algorithm not knowing what the fuck to make of such activity. Every time 4chan would get an inexplicable 10-point bump, the boards would cheer. Every time Alarm Clock got the same, they'd panic and curse the meddling Reddit mods. Additionally, a third entry, possibly inspired by Alarm Clock's Use the Monologue for Something Else idea, had floated above 4chan's post and was holding at about 1,000. This one was a list of GPS directions that could later be turned into narration for a car navigation system. Motherfucker, you missed the exit. At a fever pitch, B hustled, encouraging everyone to go out and ask their real friends for help. The board was turning into election night at campaign headquarters, and when the numbers aren't looking good, you gotta get out the vote. Inch by inch, both Alarm Clock and 4chan's posts approached 1,000 upvotes. At 11:50, depending on what the vote fluctuation was doing when you reloaded the page, they were ahead. I would have been eating popcorn if I wasn't so afraid I would win. 2 minutes, faggots, flew at my monitor as I exhaustively updated a 4chan thread. New posts were coming in every second. Several people literally just posting to keep score. And no two score posts would be the same, and then side conversations about who was right would ensue. In the final hour, and especially the final minutes, a common post was some variation of, so are they just going to lock the voting or what? Nobody knew the answer. Except me. No. Earlier in the day, I had asked the mods the same question. They said there had been no communication with them at that point about how the contest should be ended, and their default position was, it's up to Samuel's people. If the contest was going to end at midnight, it was going to end because Samuel, or someone, was there at his computer, waiting at 11:59, to edit the original contest message and say who won. Of course, if that happened, what would they see as the score? When I checked for myself, I had me ahead by 4 points. When I reloaded it, it said they were ahead by 10. The GPS post seemed to be down by 20, but who knew? When midnight rolled around, nothing happened. Voting continued to fluctuate, the thread remained open, and the original text sat there, unedited. Well, not completely unedited. One edit from that morning told the B-tards, "Don't think I don't know about you motherfuckers," which had thoroughly delighted them. On 4chan, it was unanimously decided that 4chan won, and celebration ensued. The skeptics prepared for some bullshit and took screenshots of Reddit with their post overtaking Alarm Clock, which were promptly tweeted to @SamuelLJackson. I had no idea what was going to happen. If you had asked me to bet, I would have put equal money on 4chan and GPS and half of that amount on alarm clock. That bet would be based on the same information everyone else had, plus the inferences I could make based on my insider communications over the past 2 days. Namely, me begging them to let the Wookiee win, as one mod had put it. So for the record, not only did I not know 4chan was in the game when I started, and not only did I have nothing to do with Alarm Clock's 89,300 total upvotes, I pretty much asked Samuel not to read it. Whenever the result was announced, if 4chan won, it could be argued that I did more to help them win than they did. For one thing, I didn't spend 8 hours negating tens of thousands of their own upvotes by tripping the spam filter. Come on, guys, you're 4chan. You know the internet. Get those new fags in line. On the board, the diehards were still determined, but the Anons who didn't care as much started drifting out. They eventually assumed what I already knew, which was that they were waiting for an edit on the main post. They also assumed what I already also assumed, which was that Samuel L. Jackson wasn't staying up late to post on Reddit. At some point in the coming hours, we would know, and until then, we wouldn't even know when that point would be. If the answer was going to be, 4chan cheated, Teague wins, I wanted to be awake for it. Another round of glee rage would rain down on me, possibly with a second and even more intrusive round of doxing. I didn't sleep. At about 6 in the morning, at Samuel L. Jackson tweeted something unrelated to the Reddit contest. To me, it just meant, he's awake. I idly kept an eye on 4chan while reading various news articles about this whole thing, some of which referenced me. By name! Ha ha! The hours crept by. With most B-tards assuming the voting was over, some of the hate mail started up again. I reloaded the Reddit page every few minutes. I reloaded 4chan constantly. Suddenly, on 4chan, a post. Video's up, faggots! With a YouTube link. It was a Rickroll. It went on like this for 3 more hours, until sometime around 9 o'clock in the morning, a new post went up on Reddit. Mr. Jackson motherfucking delivers! I clicked. A YouTube video. Samuel L. Jackson's face. He said a few words of thanks to the contest folks for simultaneously raising so much money for charity, and then he started reading. Some other post entirely. He didn't read Alarm Clock. He didn't read GPS. And he didn't read 4chan. My theory, and that's all it is that he was told about the situation with me and 4chan, thought it was stupid, and decided not to read mine because I asked, and decided not to read theirs so as not to reward them. And if I had to guess, I'd say he decided not to read GPS because reading a list consisting mostly of words like left, right, wasn't in the spirit he had hoped for. Then he just went with the one he liked most from what remained. It's also possible, and probably more likely, that he's just Samuel L. fucking Jackson and he does whatever he wants. Either works for me. In any case, he saved my ass. Every ounce of it was for nothing. Having an outlandishly successful post, then being unbelievably harassed for days, but it finally stopped. I have literally no emotional reaction to the fact that he didn't read mine. I wasn't trying to win, and once it looked like I was going to, it was just kind of cool. And after 2 days of stupid hell, I was just glad to be done with it. No, I'm not mad Samuel L. Jackson didn't read my post. I'd kind of like to buy him a fucking drink. Afterward. I tried to keep emotions out of the above writing and present it journalistically, because the events and chronology alone make for an interesting story and not everyone wants to hear my feelings on the matter. However, since I'm a blogger at heart, I'll live up to my neckbearded faggot reputation and tell you how it feels. Bear in mind, I had it easy. I knew what was happening, and I knew the culture from whence it came, which sets me apart from many of 4chan's targets. Middle-aged housewives and the like have been under the thumb of B before, with much less context and much more bewilderment. They didn't know what was happening or why, and reacted strongly, because I knew to resist the reaction I wanted to have, and didn't panic and cry and beg for it to stop. I mostly nipped my attack in the bud. This was the easy version. But it kind of hurts. How 4chan felt about me never hurt. If I valued their insight, if they had made an insight, if they had appraised me on my merits and made a comprehensive decision about me, and concluded I was, well, all the things they said, that would hurt. But they didn't. And that's not where it came from. What they said is just their vernacular, and they would have said it to pretty much anyone on Reddit, and often say it to themselves. So of all the things, despite it being the most overwhelming and quantifiable emotional aspect of this, you know, thousands of hateful messages, it hurt the least. It didn't have anything to do with me. It's like being told you're short by a robot. They don't care. So it doesn't get through to you the same way it would as if it was being said by someone you have a crush on? The worst part is a feeling of limp dick PTSD. The internet just hit me for no reason. I can intellectualize what happened, but a part of me is also afraid to post anything ever again, because this one time, I posted something inconsequential and virtually indistinguishable from anything else I've ever done, and then my world exploded. Nobody whose foot was smashed in by a meteorite thinks they did something wrong, but it does have a tendency to make you feel unsafe under the sky, you know? I think I'll be fine. I'm pretty sure that'll go away. It is my intention, after this has all died down, to continue using the old Reddit username the same way I always have. Not because fuck 4chan, but because it's who I am. Literally. I am Teague Christie. I love to make things, and I love people to know that I made them. I'm not particularly excited about that. One way 4chan did get through to me was by starting the Fuck the Alarm Clock bandwagon on Reddit. Most of Reddit, most, didn't see the original context of the alarm clock post before it was surrounded by pillaring statements of, oh my god, fuck this so much. Most of them saw it after 4chan had started in on it. That framing is important because the overwhelming majority of Reddit doesn't know that all the disdain they saw was a raid, not a legitimate reaction from the audience it was meant for. They all thought that other Redditors were rejecting it. Remember how well it was doing pre-4chan? I don't have a lot of pride about the post itself, but an entire community shafting your creative output because the presentation was hijacked does kind of suck. I don't feel unsafe in my home. I don't feel unsafe at all, really. And I don't question or challenge the ability of 4chan, or anyone with the inclination, to break into anyone's life and wreak havoc. I could do that to you. The thing I take away from this is that it's pretty wonderful that I, and you, and the overwhelming majority of the internet, don't. Nobody does that. Some exceptions. On the internet, people disagree, post asinine things on YouTube, and get into ill-advised arguments about religion all the time. But they don't try to ruin people's lives. Because nobody wants to. Some exceptions. People are largely good. The internet is largely good. And when something like this happens, it's best to remember that it almost never does. That said, keep your passwords locked down, and never write pants explodingly on the internet because that shit will haunt you for the rest of your life. Teague Christie, June 2nd, 2013.